Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, was born in New York and had saved him during the Easter Revolt, 1922, which is accurately depicted in the movie. Anyway, Eamon de Valero was born today, and he de Valero is Spanish, and he was his ethnicity is Spanish Irish. He worked within the with Collins in the trying to free Ireland from force the Irish Ireland from England, and of course they had the split. They have Northern Ireland, which is considered part of the British Isles, and then we have the Republic down south, which Eamon de Valero later became president for many years. Anyway, Michael Collins was the general who, whose various military tactics, guerrilla tactics, finally won both the political and the military war, which also, the military campaign, which also cost him his life. He was murdered or assassinated. Now, among the other birthdays today, we have more military people. Dwight David Eisenhower, also president. He was born today. Among the deaths, one of his opposite numbers on the Nazi side, Field Marshal Erwin Rommel, committed suicide on this date, 1944. Great movie with James Mason, The Desert Fox. You can catch that one. And then among the other birthdays today, Lillian Gish, the great actress who was in Birth of a Nation, one of the first films produced on the history of the United States. It's very controversial because there was not so subtle racism in it, but it's a classic of cinematography. And Hannah Arendt was born today. She was a German, a Jewish ethnicity, a Jewish heritage. I don't know if she practiced, but anyway, she was very critical about civilization and its discontents, and put it that way. C. Everett Koop, I think, who was a Dutch, a Pennsylvania Dutch. Anyway, he's a was Surgeon General of the United States, who started the campaign successfully to get, for people to stop smoking. Also today, one of the 007s who succeeded Sean Connery, Roger Moore, was born today. And then James Dean III, who was one of the lawyers who was caught up in the Watergate scandal, he went to prison. And among the deaths today, again, Erwin Rommel, the great Field Marshal, known as the Desert Fox. He was a Lutheran religion, and he was a career German officer who was one of the Blitzkrieg proponents, which helped crush the French in 1940, and then what he did in the desert. But he never got the equipment that he needed, and because the British had broken the Enigma code, and when the Hitler and Mussolini would send ships over to Africa, the British would intercept their messages and have submarines or airplanes ready to meet those ships and to try to sink them. They sank quite a few. Among the other deaths today, one of the big cheapskates, Bing Crosby, died today. And then, of course, he was known as the crooner and Der Bingle. And him and Bob Hope used to star in movies together. And then one of the great composer-conductors, Leonard Bernstein, or Uncle Lenny, died at a relatively young age. It's all like vodka and cigarettes. And also, he was bisexual. And but that didn't detect from what a great musician, teacher, symphony conductor, wrote Broadway shows. He wrote a couple of operas, his serious music, symphonies. The Age of Anxiety was probably his best-known work, but Candide, Trouble in Tahiti, West Side Story, and his young people's concerts. I remember the first one when they opened Lincoln Center, and the opening piece of music was Serenade to Music by Vaughan Williams, one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever written. Unfortunately, he died at age 70, although cigarette smoking and vodka drinking probably killed him. Among the events today, another battle in 1066. William the Conqueror defeated Harold at Hastings in England, and that started the dynasty known as the Plantagenets. We had Mary, Queen of Scots, who had a claim to the throne of England. She was Catholic. Grew up in France because she was in exile, and she tried to dislodge or dethrone Elizabeth, her cousin, who was a bloody Protestant and always won, and Mary Queen of Scots eventually lost her head. Famous movie with Katharine Hepburn and Frederick March. It's a black and white film, great film. And then on this day, back to the Irish, Daniel O'Connor, great Irish patriot, he was arrested by the British. I forgot to look up what his fate was. He probably tried and executed knowing the British. And then George Eastman, who was one of the founders of Kodak, invented the paper, which photos could be put on. And then Teddy Roosevelt was shot on the chest while making a speech in Milwaukee. And he continued the speech, and of course he always used to bellow, "I feel like a bone moose." My interest in him, not only because he was a great writer and naturalist, although he liked to go around killing animals, was his work in the Russo-Japanese War, which I've done quite a bit on the Russian Navy and Jack London and the other connections more recent here to San Francisco. And then in 1953, President Eisenhower threatened to fire any federal worker who took the Fifth Amendment. He would label them as Reds and they would be fired, because we had some people call it the Red Scare. And around that same period, I think it was 14 communists were convicted of sedition. I guess they went to prison. And then we had 1980, Ronald Reagan promised to appoint a woman to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that was Sandra Day O'Connor from Arizona. And she retired recently, and her husband was a Army JAG. He suffers from Alzheimer's. He's in a rest home. Well, continuing today, I'm serious about this bogus nonprofits. We're hearing more and more, they're becoming more and more political. They're getting away with it, and they claim to be helping a lot of poor people. But what I call the poverty profiteers, people who profit from suffering and misery of people who are poor and people who are economically dislocated, lose their jobs, lose their houses, have catastrophic illness, their kids are in bad schools, or their schools are even less, receiving even less public money, and education suffers, not to mention the fact that there are too damn many administrators. But these bogus nonprofits, they need to be reined in. Only one mayoral candidate, at least in California, is raising the issue. Tony Hall, who worked in city government, is raising the issue that these nonprofits, so-called, are out of control and they haven't been audited and they need to be reined in. Some of them need to have their nonprofit status stripped. And they're, in my view, their tax exemption taken away, their assets be distributed among, be removed and given to organizations that are really doing the work. But we'll see what happens on that, because that's the new political machine. One of the other issues, it's still rankling. We didn't get into it last show, but this whole business of homosexuality, lesbianism, and NAMBLA, and transgenderism in the military, it's this don't ask, don't tell is, it has much greater, much more far-reaching consequences. Already, we just had a case of a woman, a Navy veteran. She probably served the country honorably. She's demanding benefits for her partner that she married, the lesbian partner that she married in a state that permits gay marriage. And, of course, this flies in the face of the federal rules on what constitutes marriage between a man and a woman. So she's challenging it in a federal court, and two Yale students, appropriately, are pushing the case. But one of the issues, among several issues that people are not aware of, is that they want the chaplains to perform gay marriages. They want access to all military services and benefits to their partners and their lovers. They want to bring in their, just as a heterosexual serviceman or woman can, with permission of their commandant, marry abroad, they want to, the homosexual activists, lesbian activists, want to bring their partners or their lovers from abroad and give them the same benefits that heterosexuals in the military receive. Also to be able to adopt children, and also to allow NAMBLA, and it's already happened, in one military base, NAMBLA, the National Association of Man-Boy Love, a pedophile group, and also the female pedophiles, want them to be able to come onto the military bases, go into the military schools for children, and to proselytize. So, and then, of course, the transgenders. We had one case in Canada that where a transgendered wanted to not be dismissed from the Canadian Army, and I guess they let him stay, but it's going to be a problem if we allow this down here. But so the public policy question should be, if these people want to publicize their sexual preference, should they be placed in a separate unit? And that way they keep the unit cohesion in a manner of speaking. So this is a question that people are going to have to deal with. Also, there's a Great Lakes Naval Base up in Lake County, which is north of Chicago, Illinois, next to Cook County. It's where all Navy recruits go, the ones that aren't going to Annapolis or Pensacola. That's where the Navy, young Navy sailors go to be trained. It's right on Lake Michigan there. And there was another murder up there. There's a lot of questions about it. It's in the Deerfield paper. It's on the web, and we'll be dealing with it probably next week as soon as I get some more information on it. But one of the young naval ratings had they thought he committed suicide, but it turns out that he had testified or was involved somehow in a rape or was raped, and he ended up dead after this. And the initial determination was that he committed suicide, but the parents are questioning that. And there are a lot of other people beginning to question it, considering the circumstances and what happened to people like Stephen Mary and the victims of Randy Craft out here in California. These were Marines, and all sailors were involved. They were lured, drugged, mutilated, tortured, dismembered to an extent, and then murdered. There was about 10 of them, and then the total body count was about 50 that Randy Craft committed in the 70s and the 80s. So you know, these things aren't going to go away. And of course, the morons in the media, and I define the morons in the media who are people who, individuals who lie, who distort, who omit relevant information in the writing or the broadcasts that they do. Further, that when they're called on it, to make corrections or to clarify, that some of them get obnoxious or try to get up in your face. They won't do it, or they refuse to do it, and they call you all kinds of names and all that. These are morons, and their karma is going to catch up with them just as it did with Walter Durante and Jake Lingle. A couple of these people have gotten condos. We had one newspaper publisher who got HUD Community Development Block grant money for his organization. Dennis O'Patrony, a dirty Dennis, wrote his hit piece on Stephen Mary. It turns out he got a condo, a low-income condo, affordable condo, from the very people connected to Juan Pifra. And these are certified real estate documents. They're irrefutable. Since we're in the, I guess it's our summer of discontent, I'll play a couple of, we repeat these audio clips on public policy and what the citizenry should be thinking about, not only thinking about, but doing. And Senator Robert La Follette, quote, a real progressive from Wisconsin back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, made this, this is an excerpt from one of his famous speeches, as every citizen must do his duty.
America is not made. It's in the making. It has today to meet an impending crisis, menacing as any in the nation's history. It does not call a sound to arms, but it is nonetheless a call to patriotism and to higher ideals in citizenship. The patriotic citizenship of the country must take its stand and demand of wealth that it shall conduct its business lawfully, that it shall no longer furnish the most flagrant examples of persistent violation of statutes while invoking the protection of the courts, that it shall not destroy the equality of opportunity, the right to the pursuit of happiness guaranteed by the Constitution, that it shall keep its powerful hands off from legislative manipulation, that it shall not corrupt, but shall obey the government that guards and protects its rights. Mere passive citizenship is not enough. Men must be aggressive for what is right if government is to be saved from those who are aggressive for what is wrong. There is work for everyone. The field is large. It is a glorious service. This service for the country. The call comes to every citizen. It is an unending struggle to make and keep government representative. Each one should count it a patriotic duty to build at least a part of his life into the life of his country, to do his share in the making of America according to the plan of the fathers.
There's a different opinion from William Jennings Bryan, another one of these famous politicians and statesmen. Used to use the soap spots. We didn't have a lot of media in those days. But here's a rare recording of William Jennings Bryan talking about the ideal republic.
I can conceive of a national destiny which meets the responsibilities of today and measures up to the possibilities of tomorrow. Behold a republic resting securely upon the mountain of eternal truth. A republic applying in practice and proclaiming to the world the self-evident proposition that all men are created equal, that they're endowed with inalienable rights, that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, and that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. Behold a republic in which civil and religious liberty stimulate all to earnest endeavor and in which the law restrains every hand uplifted for a neighbor's injury. A republic in which every citizen is a sovereign, but in which no one cares to wear a crown. Behold a republic standing erect while empires all around are bowed beneath the weight of their own armaments. A republic whose flag is love, while other flags are only fear. Behold a republic increasing in population, in wealth, in strength, and in influence, solving the problems of civilization and hastening the coming of a universal brotherhood. A republic which shakes thrones and dissolves aristocracies by its silent example and gives light and inspiration to those who sit in darkness. Behold a republic gradually but surely becoming the supreme moral factor in the world's progress and the accepted arbiter of the world's dispute. A republic whose history, like the path of the just, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
And here's a repeat of our interview, our exclusive interview with a young Russian senator. One of them, we did a couple, all very brief, because I guess their officers are a little paranoid still. He was on the Pallada, which is a training ship in the Russian Maritime Fleet, Russian Navy. And we were talking about a little bit about his background, Rimsky-Korsakov. I wish I had gotten more. This will also be up on YouTube. We have some video.
You're a cadet, huh?
Yes.
Ah. And then what do? You have a choice to go in the Russian Navy or the Army or what? Or go to school, university?
I will be Navy where I canceled my study in Maritime College.
Oh, okay. What, do you go to St. Petersburg then?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Very famous naval base. Yeah, do you know Rimsky-Korsakov, the great Russian composer?
Yes,
he was there. He was the bandmaster. He was on a Russian ship. He composed.
Is popular?
Oh, very much. His music, Scheherazade, all the operas, Mulata. What else? I'm a musician, so I know these things.
Okay.
But I had an opportunity to go to Russia, but
didn't work out. And just for some fun, I think we'll have a little music, a Russian version of Salute to the Irish. The Russian version of A Long Way to Tipperary.
Thank you.
Well, let's end the week with what politics are. We don't see, I don't guess these guys don't play poker. Maybe they ought to play poker, but let's end with our usual thing.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Pony.
I'm in.
Candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay,
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker. Politics.
Which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Set up.
Little tray. Good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll call.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Why, Michael, when you think of it, I'm certain.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Dave's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallace.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! It's politics! Seems more predictable! That's because usually you can back the egg!
Well, folks, we'll be back Monday, and they'll have some new stuff, some new material, and I'll probably have an interview with Gladys Sargent, or Gladys, since people are still mourning the death of Al Davis of the bad boy Oakland Raiders football team. And unfortunately, none of the media has reported her role in this. She was a minority stockholder and also a great animal lover and lobbyist, and probably the premier lobbyist. The state of California, and work with such groups as Fund for Animals and other animal welfare organizations. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night and have a pleasant weekend.